Well, good morning and happy Father's Day to the dads in the room and the dads who are joining us online. We hope you're enjoying that new necktie, bottle of cologne, Aquavelva, maybe a sleeve of golf balls, whatever it is. We hope that you're especially enjoying having family celebrate you today. You definitely deserve it, and we are so grateful for you. We hope you get a good nap in this afternoon. We are continuing today with this series called God Throughout My Day. We started a couple of weeks ago, God When We Wake, God in the Morning. Biblical writers divided the day into these four portions. And so 2 weeks ago, God When I Wake, and then last week, God When I Work, kind of that, especially that lunchtime to sundown period. And today we come to God When I'm Weary. That period of time in the evening where we're kind of worn out maybe from the day and we're in need of God's strength. And so we're going to be looking at a passage in Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. Love for you to have that passage in front of you. The sermon will make a lot more sense if it makes sense at all. It'll make more sense if you have the passage that you can refer to. And Matthew chapter 11 falls in an interesting place in the ministry of Jesus. As we read it in parallel with the Gospel of Luke, we see that Jesus has just sent out a ton of disciples, 72 in all, and he sent them out to minister in his name. They come back and they're celebrating. It's like, Jesus, you wouldn't believe the power that was available to us as we served in your name. And that kind of prompts Jesus to celebrate as well. But his celebration is a little different. He has this moment of praise, as we'll see, as he praises his Father. And then he also has this moment of invitation. Not only is he praising a generous God, but he's basically inviting his disciples, and I think that includes you and me, he's inviting his disciples to experience God's generosity. And so I want you to listen as I read Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. Hear the word of the Lord. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." May God bless the reading of this word. Now, we don't know what time of day it was when Jesus spoke these words. Could have been early in the morning. It could have been in the middle of the day. And these words certainly can bless us any time of the day or night that we read them. But I love that these words speak to us, I think especially in the evening. I love these words in general, especially verses 28 to 30 have always been meaningful to me. One prayer book refers to Matthew 11, 28 to 30 as the comfortable words of Jesus. I think that's a great phrase, the comfortable words. Now, any time is a good time to experience these comfortable words, but I think the evening is an especially good time. You know, at some point, regardless of what your day looks like, regardless of what work looks like for you, whether work is you know, your enrollment in school, or whether it's something you kind of go off and do someplace else, or work is caring for people in your home or caring for your home, regardless of what work looks like, there will come a point for most of us where we are, at the end of the day, we are weary. Now, sometimes it's a good kind of tired. We look back on what we accomplished, and we're like, you know what, that was a good day. We're weary, but it's good weary. Sometimes, though, it's a bad kind of tired, isn't it? We're not only worn out, but we're frustrated. We're frustrated by the things we weren't able to accomplish, the things that got in our way, the frustrating people that we had to deal with all day. And so we come often to the end of the day, and we're tired, and this certainly must have been true for the disciples of Jesus. In fact, one of my favorite passages in the Gospels, it's kind of an Easter passage. It's in Luke chapter 24. Maybe you remember there are these two disciples. It's the afternoon of the original Easter, except nobody's really in an Easter mood. A lot of people don't realize that Jesus has risen. And so these two disciples are walking down a road together, and a stranger, they don't recognize that it's Jesus, a stranger, a kind of a guru, a teacher, approaches them, and they talk all afternoon. And so they come to, they talk all afternoon. The teacher, the strange teacher, is teaching the two disciples. And they come to that fork in the road. The teacher's going to go this way. The two disciples are going to go to their home village of Emmaus. And the two disciples don't want to end the conversation. And so I love what happens in Luke 24. They don't know it's Jesus yet, but they urge this strange teacher strongly, and they say, "Stay with us. Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. I love that. As they're about to part, these two disciples, they don't know who he is, but they know they don't want him to leave. And so the cry of their heart is, "Stay with us." And if you remember the passage, he does. He comes inside with them. He's the guest, but his dinner is served. He doesn't play the role of the guest. He actually plays the role of the host. He kind of pours the cup for them, and he takes the bread, and he thanks God, and he blesses it, and he breaks it. And as he serves them the bread, maybe they see the scars in his hands. As he serves them the bread, they recognize him. They recognize him as Jesus. Their hearts burn. And it all begins when they say, "Stay with us. Stay with us." In the evenings, the cry of our heart is, "Jesus, stay with us." In the home that I grew up in, and in homes like the one that I grew up in, it was very common to find a piece of religious art, if you will. Often it would be a portrait of Jesus, or maybe Jesus and his disciples. And there was a certain inscription, and I think we can put it up on the screen here. I wonder if any of you had this in your home, or maybe have it in your home today. It says, "Christ is the head of the home, the unseen guest of every meal, the silent listener to every conversation." I'm curious, any of you grow up with a plaque like this in your home? Am I the only one? I always knew I was more religious than you guys, and now it's just being proven. Well, just take my word. Maybe I'm just older, but take my word for it. And I can remember thinking, I thought a lot about this because I would see it. It was kind of in our hallway, and I would see it. And there was a part of it that made me really nervous, this part. The silent listener to every conversation. I'm thinking like, oh man, the Lord's hearing all the mean things I say to my brother and sister. That's not good. But this part, I think I reflected on more. That Christ is the head of this home, and not only that, he's the unseen guest. He's the unseen guest. In the evening, we welcome our unseen guest. That's the main point of this message. In the evening especially, we welcome the unseen presence of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said to Thomas when he rose again? Remember Thomas had said, I don't believe in the resurrection, and I won't believe it until I see the living Jesus in front of me, until I see his wounds. Remember Jesus actually appears to Thomas. Thomas cries out, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus says something very interesting. He says, you've seen me, and so you believe in me. But blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. That blessing is available for the taking for all of us today. We believe, we welcome the unseen presence of Jesus. And I want to talk about two ways this unseen guest is welcomed into our lives in the evening especially. First of all, this unseen guest is God with us. God with us. Every evening, like the disciples at Emmaus, we say, "Lord, stay with us." And we make that prayer on the basis of this foundational doctrine that Jesus is God, that Jesus is Emmanuel, that Jesus is God with us, not just a historical man who lived and died and is commemorated. No, Jesus is alive and he is God with us. Jesus is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is pleased to reveal himself to those who seek him. That's the way this passage began. Remember, at that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this is what you were pleased to do. You were pleased to reveal yourself to us. Now, how do these verses strike you? In fact, specifically, how does this phrase strike you? Because you've hidden these things. Is that kind of the way you think of God? God is like saying, I'm going to hide these truths from you. What's going on with that? Why does God hide truths from the wise and learned, and yet on the other hand, reveal himself to those who are little children, those who come in humble trust? Well, here's the best way I've been able to kind of figure it out. It's two words that sound similar but couldn't be more different. When you read wise and learned, think childish. And when you read little children, think childlike. Who are the wise and learned? They are the childish. When I think of this, I think of that toddler throwing a tantrum. And what does the toddler sometimes say in a tantrum? The toddler says, the toddler's frustrated because the toddler says, I want to do it what? Myself. A lot of toddlers in the room today. I want to do it myself, right? The four-year-old, I want to do it myself. I want to use the chainsaw myself, the four-year-old says. I want to do it myself. I want autonomy. I don't need you, mom and dad. I think that's kind of what Jesus is referring to in the wise and the learned. He's talking about adult toddlers. He's talking about teenage toddlers. He's talking about those of us who think we are so smart, we can do life without God's help. And God steps back and says, okay, you don't want it? I won't give it to you. You want to do it on your own? I won't force it on you. But what does God say to the childlike? He says, well, I and my Father are one, and I'm so pleased to share everything with you that the Father has shared with me. This is Jesus. This is God with us. This is the unseen guest. This is the way God works, by the way. The proud fall. Adam and Eve, who don't want God, they just want to be like God. They want to be wise and learned like God without having to deal with God. They are humiliated. And yet the humble are raised up. In the evenings, we cry out, Lord, stay with us. We can't do this by ourselves. We need you. And Jesus is saying, the Father, you know, the Father and I are one. The Father and I are one. Whatever the Father has given me, I want to give to you. I've been thinking on Father's Day, this deep connection, this incredible connection between fathers and their kids. You know, I was just been thinking about this. You know, I usually can tell the moods of my children. I don't necessarily know what's going on, but I know something's going on. And they'd probably say they can do the same with me. I know with my kids, I can tell just by the look in their eye whether a joke is coming at my expense. Just say hypothetically, that ever happened. And I know that my eye's a dead giveaway for them as well. We know each other that well. You know, I remember even as a kid that, you know, if my dad gave me a chore to do that I didn't want to do, you know, I remember just in the way that I reacted to it. Like if I said, why do I have to be the one to pooper scoop the backyard? If I said it with a smile, my dad would smile and he would say, now get on out there, you know, but he'd smile and it would be cordial. But if I said it with just a hint of frustration, if I said it with a hint of sass, if I bowed up, if I said it with kind of a hint of rebellion, you know, he could tell the difference, and I might not only have the privilege of pooper scoopering, but also working in flower beds that day, just in the way that I said it. And the thing is, he knew it, and I knew it. I knew him, he knew me. We know each other that well, still do. You know what I sense Jesus is saying? He's saying, I and my Father know one another perfectly. Humans know each other imperfectly. My Father and I know each other perfectly. And when you get the Father, you get me. And when you get me, you get the Father. And so let me tell you why this is significant. Because some of us, we have this sort of generic, impersonal idea of God, this generic deity who's not well disposed toward most of us, who's always mad, dude, that we can never seem to please. That's the view of God. And what Jesus says is God has a face, and it's my face. And so when you see me blessing the children, when you see me healing the lame or lepers, when you see me dying on the cross for you, my face is how God feels about you. I and the Father are one. The unseen guest is God with us. The unseen guest gives us all the goodness of God. What a comfort in the evenings, especially when we are worn out, that God is with us in Christ. But there's a second thing. The unseen guest is not only Emmanuel, he's not only God with us, but the unseen guest is also God for us. Those three words, God for us, seems to capture for me those comfortable words, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, words that have been so meaningful in my life, and I'm sure for many of you. And so at the time that remains, I just want to kind of break down those three verses into kind of two main blessings for us in the evening. As we apply these words in the evening, what does that mean? What does it mean that God is for us in the evening? Well, the first thing that it means is it's refreshment for today. Refreshment for today. I want you to look with me at this amazing verse. Verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This would be a tremendous verse to memorize. It would be a tremendous verse to meditate on. You know what that means, meditate? That may sound kind of mystical, something that maybe it's only for monks or whatever. But no, meditate is just to chew on. It's to spend some time with. And so, you know, you could read that verse several times over. You could read it and emphasize different words. Come, or come to me. Or come to me, all you who are weary. Or come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Or I will give you rest. And so you could read it a bunch of times. You could look at it from the vantage point of different words. You could read it in different translations, which is a helpful thing to do. By the way, a little kind of life hack for preachers. It's a website called BibleGateway.com. It has dozens and dozens of translations. You could plug in a verse or a passage of scripture, and you could see how different translators show different nuances of it in all different languages, by the way. BibleGateway.com. What a great verse, though, to memorize and to meditate upon. I like what one translator says. He says that he wants us to note the first three words, come to me, especially this word, come to me. He says, so often in the Gospels, what is Jesus saying? He's saying, come after me, follow me. We're going to go do this work. I don't want to do it by myself. I want you to come after me. I want you to work with me, okay? And that's an important part of discipleship. It's coming after Jesus. It's following in his steps. But here he says, come to me. You've been working all day. I want you to rest with me. Come sit next to me. Come break bread with me. I want to feed you. I want to nourish you. I want to comfort you. Come to me. It makes me think of that instinctive posture that able-bodied parents and grandparents assume. When a young child has hurt themselves, you know, parents can tell the difference between a frustration cry or a cranky cry and an acute pain cry. There is that, and it's terrible, isn't it? That when your child really hurts themselves, you can tell a difference in that cry. And what do? There's this posture that parents assume. You've seen it, you've done it. You drop to eye level. And you hold out your arms. And what do you say? You say, come to me. Come here. Right? And you envelop them. You envelop their tears, their muffled cries into your shoulder, into your chest. You say, come to me. Jesus gets eye to eye with us, and he says, come to me. Now, why do we need to come to Jesus? Well, it's because we're weary and we're burdened. Sometimes we're weary, and we talked about that good tired. We look back at what we accomplished today, we're worn out, but it was a good day. But sometimes we're burdened, it's bad tired. We can't just leave it at the office. We're bringing our pain home with us. And sometimes in our weariness and burdenedness, we turn inward, don't we? We respond poorly. We grow selfish. We grow frustrated with others. We need me time, just nobody else. And Jesus says, come to me with your weariness. I will give you rest. I will give you refreshment. I will be there for you. He gives us refreshment for today, but he also gives us readjustment for tomorrow. What does that mean? Readjustment for tomorrow. You see, Jesus is not only the good shepherd who leads us in green pastures and makes us lie down and makes us rest. He not only refreshes us with still waters. He not only helps us recover from the stress of today, but he does something else. And in the evening, it's a great time to be reminded of it. He helps to prepare us for the challenges of tomorrow. And he does that in verses 29 and 30 by introducing a very important tool. And it's called a yoke. And because you don't have subtitles for me yet, you who are watching online don't have subtitles yet, it's not egg yolk. It's a different kind of yoke, and we'll explain it. But look at these words. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is that yoke that he's talking about? Well, to try to explain it, I want you to play this kind of imaginary game with me. I want you to imagine that you are an ox, and that your best friend is an ox, and that you are working together. And so here you are, here's your friend, and you've got work to do. There's something, there's like a wagon or produce or something that you've got to pull, and it's so heavy, it's bigger, it's too heavy for either one of you to pull by yourself. And so what you need is a farming implement, what you need is a tool, what you need is a yoke, this wooden yoke that goes across each of your shoulders, connects you together and helps you to pull together what you could not pull by yourself. Let me say that again. The yoke helps the two of you pull together what neither one of you could pull by yourself. Okay, Larry, farming, ancient farming, interesting. What does that have to do with God? Okay, let me see if I can explain it this way. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying he is the kind of friend who loves you so much that he wants to help you readjust for tomorrow. The things that didn't go well today, he wants to help you readjust for tomorrow. And he wants to do it by giving you his yoke. He wants to come beside you. He wants you to use his yoke. He wants to get in the yoke with you. And he wants to help you pull together, the two of you, what you are not able to pull by yourself. Now, you're going to be working tomorrow. I mean, you know, it's not like you're going to be in the hammock while Jesus does all the work. No, you're going to be in the yoke too. You have your work to do. But what Jesus is going to do is he's going to help you readjust the burden. I love my favorite commentator is Frederick Delbrunner, and he says this. He says, Jesus realizes the most restful gift he can give the tired is a new way to carry life. If you're writing notes, you might want to write that down. A new way to carry life. A fresh way to bear responsibilities. That's why Jesus says, learn from me. Learn from me. He's a patient teacher. He offers us spiritual disciplines like meditation, like scripture memory, like prayer, like silence, like serving others, like gratitude. Like generosity, he offers us these disciplines as a way to kind of get in the yoke with him and to learn from him. Look, friends, here's what we don't need. If we're trying to do a job with somebody, let's say we're trying to move a piano, we don't need our companion to say, okay, we need to move this piano. How about I move the bench and you move the piano? We don't need that. We don't need somebody to stick us with all the heavy work, right? What we need is somebody like Jesus to jump in the yoke with us. What we need is somebody like Jesus to come and to do the heavy lifting and to help us do together what we can't do ourselves. It may happen tonight, may happen tomorrow night, may happen Thursday night or Friday night. When you look back on the day, you're weary, and maybe it's a bad kind of tired. And maybe you look back on the day and you think, man, I just spent the whole day living like an adult toddler. I just spent the whole day saying, I want to do this myself. And I did my work, I did my life in a selfish, childish grab for autonomy, for control, doing things in my own strength, doing things my own sinful way. And evening has come, and I look back, and I'm just filled with failure. I feel exposed. I feel burdened. But Jesus, the unseen guest, comes to me. He holds the bread of life in his hands. He pours from the cup into the cup of salvation. He bandages the blisters from the burdens of today. And he gives me hope for renegotiating tomorrow in a different way. And he shows us through eyes of faith. Jesus shows us the face of our Heavenly Father. He's always waiting for us, not just in the evening, who in fact is waiting for us right now, who waits for us eye to eye, on bended knee, arms stretched out as wide as the cross, and saying to us, come to me, come to me. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how thankful we are that you are always with us. How thankful we are that you open up to us the generosity of your Father, because you and the Father are one. How thankful we are, Lord, that when we come to the end of ourselves, when we realize how badly we need you, you're ready to give us so much goodness, Lord, more than we can possibly hold or imagine. And we need that, Lord, because we do get tired. And sometimes, Lord, in these days, in this season, we get especially worn out by life. And so, Lord, would you help us to hear that invitation in your word and respond, to come to you, our unseen guest, to be refreshed by you, Lord. And then, Lord, to get in the yoke with you. Lord, help us to live differently tomorrow than we did yesterday, because you've made your yoke available to us. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.